That's a pretty good batting average for
it
sure.
It is. You're part of they. You are they. And so you want to get everybody on the same page.
I'm burning hot. I just want to think about life. Welcome, everybody. This is Tuesday Morning Grind, episode number 55. Today, we have CJ Dubé with us. CJ is a EOS implementer. So if you're not familiar with what EOS is, there's a book called Traction that's probably one of the best-selling business books of all time. It has to be. It certainly has influenced Risk 360 in the way that we think about business. CJ, we actually have three books. We have Scaling Up, Traction, and a book called by Jack Stack. Called Great Moon Business. We all kind of, I consider foundational to business.
That's good.
But what Traction does is it talks about if you're an entrepreneur or business and you want to implement a system to manage your business, this kind of provides a system to do that. And CJ, you've helped what I think 110 plus companies do this. You've been a lifetime entrepreneur and you're also the global community leader for EOS Worldwide. So I think we're going to learn a ton today. So I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm excited to be here, Christian. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So how did you get into becoming an implementer for EOS? Because I feel like that's not one of those things you just stumble into. You have to realize that you can teach people how to do this. So how did you become an implementer?
It's a great question. So I've been an implementer for 12 years. Prior to being an implementer, I also was a partner in an HR contract consulting business, but then I was also a member of Entrepreneurs Organization. So I sold my business, my part of the business, in 2009, and I was still a member of EO, and that was about the time the book Traction came out. And so everyone was saying, CJ, you have to read the book Traction. You have to read the book Traction, which, like every crazy entrepreneur, I finally sat down and I read the book and I went, oh, I did some things really well. However, I could have done a lot of things better. And that's where I really started thinking about what do I want to do? Because it was about to be the next chapter for me. What was I going to do next? And I learned more about being an implementer. And I spent some time talking to a couple people. Mike Payton, our previous visionary for EOS Worldwide, him and I talked a lot because we were both in Minneapolis. We ended up partnering, which was fun. So I went to boot camp. I drank the Kool-Aid, and here I am 12 years later.
Nice. Yeah, Traction is one of those books that, so we have quarterly meetings, then we do an annual offsite as a whole team. Mm-hmm. We have 40 people, so not a huge company. But Traction is one of those books I dust off ahead of every quarterly and annual just to get some ideas about how I should run this meeting again. But you've done 110 companies. I think I read that. If I have that wrong, but somewhere 100 plus companies. What are some of the trends you're seeing? Are there things that are needle moving activities that any company can benefit from? You're if you walk in, you're look, 80 of the last 100 companies I've looked at, this is a game changer for them. Are there any things that stand out to you like that?
Well, let me just back us up just a little bit.
Sure.
So EOS is, at the end of the day, is a system for managing human energy. That's really what it is. And there are six key components that make up the EOS model. And in each one of those pieces of the model, there are two tools in it. So every one of the six key components that make up the model, they all connect to each other. So vision, what's your vision? Do you have the right people in the right seats? Data, what is the numbers? How are you tracking your numbers? And there's tools in there. And then a specific issue solving track. And then also then you have your processes component and your traction component. And as Gino Wickman would say, vision without traction is hallucination. So it's really about getting 80% strong in each one of those six key components and to get the real simple results you're looking for. So our goal is really to help you get 80% strong. There are many business management systems, other systems out there that are trying to get you to perfection 100%. We're saying if you get to 80%, you are really growing and you've got great people in your organization. I always liken it to if you think if a number goes off track, so say one number goes off track, well, you typically either have a people issue or a process issue. So that's just an example of how they all tie together. To get more specific with your question, if there's one tool that I always like to see everyone do, it's the L10 meeting. The L10 meeting really is that pulse of keeping your leadership team together and then helping your department stay together with the L10 meeting as well.
Can you talk about that? Like, sure. What is an L10 meeting? How's it structured?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So the L10 meeting, it's in the meeting pulse. So to what you said earlier, there are three different ways that we do meetings. So we do meetings on an annual basis, the two-day retreat format that you mentioned, quarterly basis, all-day offsite, quarterly meetings, and then the weekly, what we call the L10 meeting. An L10 meeting simply means you want your meetings to be tens. And if you are, you know, following five rules, same day, same time, start on time, end on time, and same agenda, you're doing really well right there. So the L10 meeting, I always say, is about keeping the circles connected. That's just my way of saying it, because as leaders, we're always running really fast. So to our ability to sit down with each other, talk to each other, whether that be in person or Zoom, it doesn't really matter, and follow the agenda, which is a segue. And then you have a check-in on your rocks. Are they on track or off track? Check-in on your scorecard numbers. Are they on track or off track? And then do you have any, you know, headlines, people headlines you need to make sure you're sharing? All of those are like reporting only. We all walk out of our meetings with to-dos. So we record those to-dos. 9 out of 10 of your to-dos should be falling off every week. But 60 minutes of a 90-minute meeting is specific to helping you solve those issues. And in my world, issues is not a negative term. It's an idea, an opportunity, as much as it is a concern, problem, obstacle, or even a status update. But you're spending 60 minutes of a 90-minute meeting solving your issues to help move your business forward week after week after week.
So we're working through like meeting rhythms at Risk 360 now, because we're kind of like we're losing span of control where our top level managers can't be in all the big meetings. So like department level folks have to be in meetings. Do you usually see an L10 meeting being at the ELT level, or like ELT plus the departments would also be having theirs? What's the typical structure for that?
So the structure is the leadership team. When I refer to a 90-minute meeting, that's for the leadership team once a week, okay? Mm-hmm. But then you move to department meetings from there. So your leadership team, typically a leadership team is 3 to 7. Once you get over 7 people, you have a little bit of a diminishing return. So 3 to 7 people on a leadership team meeting once a week to keep things moving forward. Then each leader has an L10 meeting with their department. So think of it in tiers. Leadership team, go one tier down. And one tier down, if I'm the head of sales, then I go have an L10 meeting with my direct reports. So if I had 3 regions and there were 3 regional managers, for example, I would have an L10 meeting with my direct reports. There'd be 4 of us. But then they would have an L10 meeting with their region as well.
Yep.
And I would just say this, they do not need to be 90 minutes. It could be 60 minutes. When you get to the department level, you do what's best for the department. It could be 60 minutes every week. It could be 60 minutes every other week. It's just figuring out the right meeting pulse for each level. But in a ELT team, as you said it, you're moving fast. You're growing fast. Most companies are growing quickly. And so you need to keep those circles connected, because then you're off for the rest of the week moving in a lot of different directions.
One of the things that we're struggling with is, as we've lost span of control, it's kind of giving that next level of leadership the tools they need to have an effective critical number, have an effective meeting, and know what to roll up to the next level so the leadership team can do that. So as you've seen leaders lose span of control and like have to empower the next level of leadership, like how do you train them to have a good meeting? What's the process to do that?
Well, there is, it's a training. It's, you know, the description of it is in the Traction book, and there's 6 books in the Traction library now, but it's teaching them what you're already doing. So you do your L10, you teach them you know, I'm the person leaving my leadership team, and I'm going to go teach my sales team how to do these L10 meetings and the time it is. And then you know, at the end of the meeting, you're giving cascading messages that you want, you're reviewing your to-dos, and then you're rating the meeting. We all rate our meetings on a scale of 1 to 10. So we're holding each other accountable. And here's what I've experienced this year more than I've ever experienced in 12 years. It is around that mid-management level. So whether it's because so many of us leaders ended up back in our business more because of COVID and hard to find people and all of that. So the key thing is really focusing on right people, right seats at the mid-level manager, because we as leaders can never work on our business if we don't teach that tier right, that mid-level manager to, one, LMA themselves, lead, manage, and hold people accountable. The more, the better the mid-management level, the more the leadership team can do to work on the business to continue its growth overall.
So talk about that a little bit. You use the words from Traction, right people, right seats. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, I'll speak for myself, can't speak for everyone, but one of the things I realized that we needed to do because we're rapidly growing is basically the org structure changes.
Yes.
Maybe twice a year sometimes, because we doubled, for example, this year. When you're walking into an organization, or if you're a leader thinking about right people, right seats, like, where do you begin? How do you kind of help companies think about what seats they need and who the right people in those seats are?
So there's two key tools, ultimately, when you think about right people, right seats. The first tool, it's right person is tying directly to your core values. So when I'm working with a team, I'm doing a couple exercises to help them discover what those core values are. And core values is a term that's used everywhere now, right? It's used in the colleges everywhere. But when you do the exercises, you're really dialing into what the heart, the soul of your business is. What are those characteristics? And you as a leadership team absolutely say what those core values are, and then you decide how you're living and breathing them. And the tool we use with right people is called the People Analyzer Tool. And the People Analyzer Tool is, once you have your core values, you create a bar plus, which is majority of the time, 90% of the time, plus minus. Think of it sometimes yes, sometimes no, but think of it more like a 70-30. And then a minus is someone that shows up and it's 50% of the or less, they just don't have that value. Have you ever worked with someone and you knew they were really great at their job, but you rubbed wrong with them?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's most of the time there's a value. You're just not aligned. That doesn't mean that person wouldn't be great in another business. They're just not aligning with your core values. Okay.
Yeah. We do the GWC core values thing at Risk 360.
Yeah.
And we have some blog posts on it. So if anyone Googles GWC core values, Risk 360 is a blog post.
There's other posts on the details. So that's the People Analyzer tool to get you right people. Now, right seats, the tool is the accountability chart, which GWC ties right to the accountability chart. So think of the accountability chart as an org chart on steroids, because every seat in the accountability chart has 5 roles in it. What are the main roles that seat is that you want to hold that person accountable to? Okay. So, and I do this often. Like even last week, team I've been with 7 years, we took clean slate and we said, okay, how we need to redo this accountability chart. And I always joke and I say, okay, I fired you all. Let's go up here. Let's think on the business. What's the right structure that's going to take us to our 3-year picture now? So you've built your 3-year picture. What's the right accountability structure to get us to that 3-year picture? And once you build it, you got to start moving to it now, usually, because you're feeling the pain and the stress cracks from a lot of growth. Sometimes you have someone that you absolutely love and adore them, but their seat's too big or their seat's too small, right?
Yep.
And if you were working with me and you're a for-profit business, I would convince you that you don't have a seat for them, as much as you think they're a great person. And that's hard. That's
absolutely great. That's one of the hardest parts about, like, for a start, we work with a lot of startups and high growth tech companies, and we are one. And one of the phenomena that we've had to just get comfortable with is, a lot of times the people who got you to that level aren't the right people to get you to the next level. And that doesn't mean you necessarily want to ditch them. Maybe you need to find a better seat for them.
Right.
You need to evolve the role, change the work structure, or whatever it might be. But that's really challenging because it requires a lot of thought.
It is really, really challenging. And you know what? To be totally honest, if you didn't feel a lot of pain for it, I don't know how great of a human you would be. Because sometimes we have to feel it in our heart that this isn't great. But the message I want everyone to hear is, as a leadership team, our lens needs to be from the greater good of the business. That's what we're there for. So for the greater good of the business, what needs to happen? And sometimes even a leader has to come off the leadership team.
Yep.
Sometimes you don't have a right leader at that leadership team level any longer. And for the greater good of the business, that's the right thing to do.
You see that all the time, even with board of directors. Like, companies come in and they'll get funding, and then sometimes the founder, the CEO, you know, has to take a step back and bring in a professional CEO, and that's difficult in everybody, most especially the founder. But okay, to your point, if you're looking out for the business, sometimes you have to make those tough moves.
Yeah, and so that's taking some of the emotion out, and it's not easy. But greater good of the business is what we're there to do.
You've talked about meeting rhythms and right people, right seats. One of the things I wrote down is, so I would say we kind of self-implement traction, limping along, and it's been a 6-year journey so far, but we think about this all the time. But as we've added people to the team or new leaders, sometimes you have skeptics, like folks who just aren't buying in on the structure or maybe kind of detractors just based on their prior experience, sometimes for good reasons. How do you handle detractors or skeptics of the operating system when you're trying to implement it for your clients? Have you run into that?
Sure. I mean, in the very beginning, when I'm talking to someone that's interested in implementing EOS, I simply say, there are a lot of business management systems out there. Just choose one. It doesn't need to be EOS. If you think there's a system out there that is better for you, your team, your company, then choose that. But the key word is commitment, because implementing any business management system takes time and effort, and sometimes it's pushing a boulder up a hill. So, because the flavor of the month doesn't really work, right? When you have an entrepreneur who has lots of ideas, think of it as the visionary. He's bringing in this new book, this new system, this new whatever, and you're driving your employees nuts. And so if you can just pick one, stay committed to it, everyone in the business will be happier, and you'll have arrows going up and arrows going down and everyone aligning better. So all I ever say to anyone is, when I hear pushback, or I say, oh, why do you do it that way? Or what do you do this way? And I said, because Gino pulled all the levers for us. And when I mean it, I mean, literally mean all the levers. I mean, in the very, as I joke, in the early days, to date myself a little, I'd say, what about this, Gino? What? And he goes, CJ, go try it 27 times. And if it works, then come back to me. I'd go try it, and nope, it didn't work. And so then I'd go back. So now, with confidence, I can say, just commit. I promise you, trust me, this works. But if you're not committed to it, then go choose something else.
Yeah, there's something I've kind of realized being in this business for the last 6 years is, sometimes a sub-optimized decision, so like let's say a 60% decision, is way better than an ambiguous or no decision at all.
100%.
And I think that applies to this. Like, just choose an operating system. You're going to be way better off than if you didn't choose one, or if you, just let life decide and let it limp along.
I say just decide often to a lot of things, because when it comes to a business management system, EOS is time-based learning. So on average, it takes 2 years to teach all of the foundational 20 tools in our toolbox. We have many, many other tools in the 20, but to get through the 20 tools in the toolbox takes about 2 years, 10 days in 2 years' time. Mm-hmm. So all I'm asking for is your mental commitment to do that. And then if somewhere on that journey it's not right for you, I simply say, okay, it's not right for you. I can only say out of 118 clients that I've worked with, only two has it not been right for.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good batting average for
it
sure.
It is. And so, again, I'm there to teach real simple results and get you 80% strong in what we're doing, what they're doing for their business.
So CJ, one of the things we try to do in this podcast is every episode we try to provide like a how-to guide. And I know it's going to be a gross simplification, but like something that people can take away from it. So one of the things that we've been working on, and it's the end of the year here, is kind of that season of the year where you're working on annual strategy, annual planning. Most people do that kind of December, January timeframe. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I feel like every time I'm doing an annual meeting, I'm kind of doing it for the first time. And what I mean is like I remind myself, all right, Christian, you're going to put a plan on the page, but then you have to have, you know, 16 meetings before the meetings to motivate and rally everyone else, get their input. Then you have a prep meeting before the offsite. Then you have to tell all the participants like what their role in the offsite is going to be. So it turns into a lot of stuff, but I don't have a structure. Like I feel like every year I tell myself, you should write down every step that goes into you doing annual planning. What do you recommend when it comes to planning for like a big meeting, like an annual strategy meeting or something like that? Are there things you would recommend to get ready for that?
Well, so a couple of things. You've mentioned the book Traction, which is absolutely the first book for people to read to understand EOS. Mm-hmm. But there is a book called Get a Grip that was written by Gino and Mike yep. Payton. Okay. That in that book, there is a description on how to run an annual. So there is an outline of an implementer taking a team through an annual. So there's a tip there. The tool is the Vision Traction Organizer. So the tool for the annual ultimately is answering the 8 questions. It starts with core values, but then it's about core focus. Everyone getting lasered in on why do you do what you do and what do you do? So your purpose, cause, or passion, and then your niche. Really lasering in on what that core focus for your business is. Then we say your 10-year target, which is just your big long-range goal. Where do you want to be 10 short years from now? You can pick anywhere from 5 to 30, but on average, most of the teams choose 10. Then getting on the same page with your marketing. Simplified approach to your marketing strategy. Then it's your 3-year picture. So it's a picture of, say, where do you want to be 3 years from now? So in the year of 2024, where do you want to be? Revenue, profit, measurables, and the 5 to 15 things of what it looks like. Then you take it down to the traction, which is what's your 1-year plan? Because that's the point of an annual meeting, is what's the 1-year plan? Again, revenue, profit, 1 to 2 key measurables, and then the 3 to 7 most important goals for the year. Not the 23 goals for the year, the 3 to 7 most important goals for the year. And then we break it down into rocks. So what we're teaching is your 90-day world, right? So how do I start living my business on a 90-day world? So that's the quarterlies you referred to. Same process, 3 to 7 rocks for the quarter, revenue for the quarter, profit, measurables. And then your issues list is your long-term issues list, is the 8th question. So what are those things that we need to get out of our head? The key thing with an annual is adding in some team health, having time together to just spend time together, saying where we've been, where we're at, doing a little bit of team health. We do a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And then the following day, you're kind of going back into the weeds to make sure you get that 1-year plan and your rocks built. So prep is you're answering 8 questions. So it's everyone, if you've already have one built, VTO, before you go into your annual, spend time, take what I call a clarity break. Just take time to review that, think through what you want for the future. And the best annuals are those that teams that sequester themselves, take yourself to an offsite location, stay overnight, have a team dinner, build in that team health together. And then the only other thing I would say, the more from a preparedness, is what do you see your budget to be for you know, having that ready for your annual as well is very good. I'm hoping that's answering your question.
It is. We do a version of the Vision Traction Organizer, which I think is helpful because it narrows it down to kind of eight sections that you, mm-hmm. you listed there, things to think about. Where we, I think, not struggle, but like vary a little bit from year to year would be the prep to get ready to have that conversation. So what we have historically done is each like department head or leader would take a shot at completing the VTO on their own, and then we'd come together and try to get to a final place on that, which could take multiple iterations. Are there tips or tricks that you've seen on like compiling, like for example, if you come up with a vision and you're going to come up with numbers and goals, is that kind of independent work? Then you bring that back as a team and discuss it to finalize it? Or does it work better if someone just owns it and brings a minimum viable product to the table? What have you seen work?
Well, so you're right on both counts. One is someone needs to be able to get their own thoughts. I mean, you build your core values, right? So you're all 100% on the same page. So the key thing going into a year after year annual is looking at the three-year picture of where you feel your department should go. Where do you feel the business as a whole should go? So I find, quite honestly, from listening to my clients and listening to many people, oftentimes in the first few years, having a facilitator is very, very good. Because that facilitator is able to pull all of the leadership team's ideas together and get you on the same page. Because when you walk into the room, it's not that everyone on the leadership team doesn't have vision, because you have vision. It's just that it's all a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So to be able to get everyone 100% on the same page with what that vision is to be able to compile it all and get agreement. No, okay, we got a little bit from each person. Now let's pull it together so we are all on the same page. Because you don't want to walk out of a room going, they said, or they think, because you're part of they. You yep. are they. And so you want to get everybody on the same page. So having time to process and think through before you enter an annual, absolutely important, right? Having that time, because truly you need to be able to spend time, because thinking's kind of the hardest work that we do. Right?
Yep.
So we want to be able to float up, think about it. But then when you come together, it's about getting on the same page. That's really what it's about.
I think how we do it is I'll typically take lead of coming up with like vision and strategy, but I'll do that through a lot of side conversations with different stakeholders. Then I'll compile what I'm hearing and my own thoughts into something like it's like an 80% solution for us to work on. And then they'll also bring their own thoughts, but at least there's someone taking the lead and it's, yeah. it's close to like, is that common? Do you see like CEOs typically taking the lead on the annual and the prep, or is it, or some other collaboration going on? And I know we have the visionary and integrator and traction. So it's probably the visionary doing that, but who's the individual typically taking the lead?
So your integrator is the glue. Your integrator mm-hmm. is the person who's working hard to pull everybody together. Your visionary and your integrator are having same page meetings together to get on the same page first. So your visionary is, of course, the one that's going to have, you know, 20 ideas a week and only one's any good. But the one that's good is the one that hits it out of the park. But your integrator is ultimately the filter. So your integrator is filtering a lot of the visionary's ideas to help them get to the full leadership team. So your integrator is the one that's pulling a lot of things together to be able to get us to a final vision. And then the strategy to me is how we're going to get there, right? So you build it and you say, this is what we see 3 years out. Now, how are we going to get there? And what do we have to do and our goals for this year to get us to 2024, and breaking that down to by priority, because as humans, we always take on too much, especially people that are grow or die oriented. We want to grow, but sometimes we have to slow ourselves down to go faster.
Yeah. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the visionary integrator terminology, I think the visionary is that archetypical CEO, knows the market kind of thing, but not always. And then the integrator, I think typically is probably like a president or a COO. They probably hold other titles. There could be other things, but that's pretty typical. You got someone who's like marketplace oriented, which would be that visionary, and then the integrator, who's the, like you said, the glue, the person who actually makes all that stuff happen, filters out the bad ideas.
Yeah, and I resonate with that really, really well, Christian, and that's the way most people look at it. We take all titles out because I don't care about the title. I care mostly about the function. But if you think about it, the visionary is the 20 ideas a week, has all the big relationships. He or she is that person that oftentimes is very involved in R&D, and not always, but oftentimes a little ADD. And I can say that because I'm a visionary. The integrator, though, is structured, organized, methodical, truly knows how to pull all the pieces of the puzzle together and make them work. And that's the difference. So, I mean, by title, yes, oftentimes a visionary is a CEO, and typically a integrator has a, I've seen president type of title.
Yep. That's what me and my business partner are. We, I think we naturally kind of took those roles. I'm the visionary and he's the integrator, although I think we each share attributes of the other title as well.
Sure,
but
sure.
When we read Traction, we were like, oh yeah, this is like, makes sense why we operate so well together. Chris, so that's kind of a cool epiphany.
Have you read Rocket Fuel?
I have. We read Get a Grip and Rocket Fuel, all three of them. Like the, and for those of you who don't know, I think Rocket Fuel, if I recall correctly, is the story version of it. Or no, that's the one that talks about visionary integrator specifically.
Yeah, the Get a Grip is the fable format. Get a Grip is the fable format. And Rocket Fuel is for visionaries and integrators. And to put a little plug in, there you can join Rocket Fuel University for free. So
people
can get on to Rocket Fuel University for free. And we are now doing integrator master classes for integrators to help them to become their best. So there's that book as well. And then the other book is How to Be a Great Boss. And that's for anyone that manages people, anyone who's responsible for what we call LMA, Leadership Management Accountability. And then the book, What the Heck is EOS, is the book specific for employees. It just helps an employee understand why EOS, literally what the heck is EOS. The sixth book just came out in September, which is The EOS Life, written by Gino Wickman. And that.
Yep, I actually read that one.
Yeah.
Just read it.
Pretty nice.
No, we do the elevate and delegate exercise.
Good.
That's kind of what fell out of that. We had our whole leadership team do that. So if you're not familiar with elevate and delegate, it's a tool that really helps you as a leader understand where your time is best spent and how to focus more of your time on those elements. And as it implies, that you should delegate some of those other activities, which gives young leaders an opportunity to take on those responsibilities. We found a lot of value in that because we have a young management team.
Yeah.
So they're kind of thinking through, what does it mean to be a great manager? And one of the things it means to be a great manager is to focus your time on manager activities instead of subject matter expert activities. So I think they all found that really valuable.
Yeah. The core of the tool, if you really think of the heart and soul of that tool, is what do you love to do and you're great at? What do you like to do and you're good at? And then the bottom left quadrant is what are you good at but don't like to do? Bottom right is not good at and don't like to do. No one should be bottom right. 95% of the world sits in good at but don't like to do. So for leaders, our job is to keep elevating ourselves up because we show up so much better when we love something and we're great at it. And the reality is someone in the world definitely loves what I don't like.
Yes, absolutely. I think I realized for myself, I like culture building and brand activities a whole lot, which I kind of knew that, but I had never articulated it to myself. So going through that, I realized that my time was better spent doing more of that stuff.
Yes.
But some of the day-to-day like services, administrative stuff that we do, CW, who's our integrator, is really passionate and good at.
Good.
But wasn't doing as much as that. So we kind of handled off some of those activities as a result of that this year. So that was
very good.
A huge value for us.
Great.
I do want to tie this in a bow here, CJ, because most of our audience are entrepreneurs or they're security executives or people building security teams.
Yeah.
And if you're an entrepreneur, I think it's more obvious how this can help you. This is a system to run your business. I highly recommend it. The way that we implemented it is we started out with the book Traction. We kind of structured our rhythms around that in a self-implementation format. But we also read Get a Grip, which is the story version of it, which I found helpful just to conceptualize what Traction was talking about. It helped fill in some gaps. Then I read Rocket Fuel, which me and CW, who's my business partner, read just to understand and like nod our heads like, yeah, visionary integrator. Like, yeah, this is how we're going to do it. And then the EOS Life, which I just read, was more like, I've been an entrepreneur for 6 years. I'm burning hot. I just want like to think about life and what I really want to be spending my time doing versus the things that I'm grinding away doing that I don't want to be doing. And it was a good little reset for me. I read that. And like I said, we brought forth the delegate and elevate stuff. So that's the way that we used it. And I think it's really effective. But a lot of our audience are security executives. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you need to be an entrepreneur and own a business or be the CEO of a business to implement Traction. I don't know if you've seen this, but I think you can do it at a department level because you could have a mission, a vision, meeting mm-hmm. rhythms, right people, right seats, all the same stuff, having meeting ground rules. If you have a sizable department, because we have cybersecurity teams that, you know, are anywhere from 1 to 50 people in some cases that are biggest companies. So have you seen companies implement this at like a department level?
I have. Having done it for 12 years, I would say it's a small percentage that have done it, just to be open. Our target market is typically businesses that are 10 to 250 employees. Mm-hmm. But yes, if there is I did it for a large department of a larger company, and it works great. And I actually there's an umbrella company that's a publicly held company, and I do it with a lot of their separate businesses. They are separate businesses. It can be done as a department. The tools work for even a sole proprietor, right? I mean, at the end of the day, as an implementer, I have my own VTO. Now, I have probably 4 of us, but my assistant team, my integrator, we do the VTO together, and there's only 4 of us. So the tool can be used for sure for many different reasons. A lot of the tools all can be used. It's just our target market where we found it to work best is entrepreneurial companies that are 10 to 250 employees, you know, yep. that are willing to be open, honest, and vulnerable is the other piece to it. But for sure it can work. And then I just want to say this. Anyone can go to eosworldwide.com and download for free all of our foundational tools. So you can download that VTO and start working on it right away.
Hey, see, one of the things that we did as a company, like I said, we're 40 people, but we're growing fast, mm-hmm. is since we implemented a version of Traction as a company, I wanted to give our service line leaders, which are almost like companies of themselves, that each of them are between 2 and 10 people right now, the tools to begin structuring their team. And we kind of picked and chose what made sense from the book Traction. So, for example, each department has like a subvision. Each of them have their own meeting rhythm. Sure. They're teaching their team like ground rules for having meetings and stuff like that, which I found hugely effective for us. And it was nice because we had implemented that at the firm level, but because each of our service line leaders and department leads are also doing kind of a mini implementation themselves, it kind of gets us all run in the same direction. So that was really cool for us.
It's ultimately a lot of EOS is getting people to talk the same language. Mm-hmm. There's things that have been around for 10 years, 100 years, and Gino masterfully pulled them all together. And what that does is it helps everyone to have the same language and to be on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. CJ, I know you've mentioned these several times, but another thing we like to do is just talk about books and resources that if people want to learn more about the topic, they can go. And you've mentioned a few, but could you kind of rattle off the books and then maybe like if there's websites and stuff people can go to begin this journey where they can go?
Absolutely. So 6 books in the Traction library. The first one is definitely Traction. And then it's Get a Grip, which is a fable format of telling you what it looks like to have an implementer walk you through the EOS system. Then you have Rocket Fuel, which is for visionaries and integrators. And then you have How to Be a Great Boss, which is for any manager, anyone who's managing people. It walks through all the tools there on how to be a great boss. What the heck is EOS is specific to employees. So employees can understand why EOS really is what that one is. And the newest out is the EOS Life, which is all about doing what you love with people you love, making a huge difference, being paid appropriately, and having time for other passions.
Absolutely. Well, CJ, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing this information. And if anyone out there is trying to get a grip on their business, I highly recommend this. That's why I wanted to bring you on, CJ, because I think it's such an important and cool tool for entrepreneurs. If you guys want to learn more about Traction, you can visit those resources that CJ threw out, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So CJ, thanks so much for your time today.
Absolutely. If anyone has any questions, you can go right to EOSworldwide.com, or you can reach out to me at cj.dube@EOSworldwide.com.
Absolutely.